computer's disintegrating.
Hey.
Assault. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I gotta confess to you, I'm not in a very good mood this morning, all right? It's one of those days. It's Tuesday, the 23rd day of, in fact, I put the wrong date on my calendar, and it's the 23rd day of February, 2021. I'm not in a very good mood, just not. And that doesn't mean I'm going to roll over and suck on my thumb and go back to bed. But man, oh man, boy, what a great show yesterday with Matt Truella, huh? Was that something? And boy, that teaching. Oh my Lord, if we could get that teaching in the American churches, our pastors would begin to understand. So, folks, we are at a war like we have never seen ever. And see, the war is so massive because communication is so instant. It's so instant. Used to be that, you know, they started out with a Pony Express, right? You had to put it you didn't even have that. You put it on a boat and you sailed it across the ocean, or you dropped it in a bottle and hoped it floated. You had smoke signals. Or at least I remember when I was a kid, hearing the first time my sister was in Germany. And my mom was sending her a letter. Are you ready? Airmail. You guys remember that? Anybody remember that but me? Sending your letter, airmail. I thought, wow, woo, that baby's going to get there fast. And now you click something on the internet and it's already old news by the time you look at it. This instant communication. And all it's doing is we have a better opportunity now to see and understand the wiles of the devil, see the devil at work. But unfortunately, most of the church has not got its head out of the Bible or out of the smoky entertainment centers to actually engage for the cause of Christ. I sometimes feel like a lone voice out crying in the wilderness. I know I'm not, but I feel that way. I feel that way. Why do I feel such a tension when I come in contact with a local pastor? Now, not all of them. Hey, I got pastor buddies. But for the most part, you know, man, they see me coming. They think that thing on my head's, you know, they think it's one of those things when they see me coming. And all I'm trying to do is just trying to get them to open their eyes and look around and understand that we're losing the very basis of this nation. And that if there's going to be any changes for the good in America, hey, friend, it's going to have to come through the church. It's not going to come through the legislature. Legislature ain't going to do it. Are your county commissioners honest? I'm thinking here in Licking County, I think one of them is. I'm not going to say which one. I think maybe one of them is. Is your elected official, your local elected official, is he in there for you or is he in there for him? Is he in there for the civil service credits that he gets? And if he's in there and he's just local state rep, is he in there being your local state rep because he wants to move up to be the federal rep and then be the senator and then be the governor and then be, well, it's all blind, vain ambition everywhere you look. And I hate to tell you this, it's the same vain ambition in the church. Same one. Bigger church, more people, more impact, more smoke, more, right? Y'all with me? And no wonder why we're in the mess that we're in. And yesterday, the United States Supreme Court votes 6-3, not even to hear the election controversy. They don't even want to hear it. Who do you turn to? Who's next? Who do we appeal to next? John Diamond would say appeal to heaven. Yeah, I agree with that. There's an appeal to heaven. But if you think there's a redress of grievances in America today, man, Hunter Biden, we know, has anybody investigated Hunter Biden? Has anybody investigated Hillary Clinton? Has anybody, but they're investigating Donald Trump again? Supreme Court says, well, So I got this quote from Rush Limbaugh. It's up on the screen today. I thought this was pretty fitting. I read this yesterday, and I reached back. I pat myself on the back because it gave me a little bit of, affirmation. Limbaugh said this, and I'm saying it to me. I say it to you, Randy. Say it to you, Jeff, Nell, and Larry, and some of you guys up there. Limbaugh said, there's a good reason for the media hating me. And once I came to grips with that fact, that there's a reason they should hate me, then it began to make sense. One of the toughest things, listen now, one of the toughest things I had to do was to learn psychologically and accept the fact that being hated was a sign of success. Hey, huh? Being hate, Jesus said they're gonna hate you. They hated me first. Is somebody in here gonna say Jesus wasn't successful? He wasn't successful at friendship evangelism, yeah. Right? He didn't know how to win friends and influence people. He didn't know how to do it. Being hated is a sign of success.
Amen.
Now listen, Randy, but most people aren't raised to be hated. We don't get it. See, we like that affirmation. That constant affirmation. That's the way we want to please mom. We want to please dad. We want to please our teachers. We want to please our coaches. We want to please our friends. And so we blend in and we don't open our mouth and we don't say anything. We're all raised to be loved, not hated. We want to be loved. We're told to do things to be loved and appreciated and liked. We're raised. Don't offend anybody. Be nice. Everybody wants total acceptance, Rush said. Everybody wants respect. Everybody wants to be loved. And so when you learn what you do is going to engender hatred, you have to learn to accept that as a sign of success. That was a tough psychological thing for me, Rush said. Yeah, I want you think about that, man. You think how hated that guy was. It was a dichotomy, wasn't it? He was really, really loved, and he was really, really hated. Sort of like Jesus. Jesus was really, really. I don't know. Would anybody out there describe Jesus Christ as a kind of a down the middle kind of guy? He didn't take any controversial positions, and he didn't want to offend anybody, and he didn't want to. He was like, what's that guy? Alex Trebek. He was just Mr. Right down the middle. Well, of course not. And his promise was that they hated him. Think about that. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross to lay down his life for those who don't even deserve it, and they hated him for doing it. He said, don't get upset, man. They hated me first. They're going to hate you. In fact, he said, blessed are you when men revile you. What? Hey, Spencer, get our buddy Webster. Revile you. Revile. Hey, I ain't looking for enemies. I don't have a hard time finding them. I don't go looking for them. You know what I'm saying? Revile is to reproach, to treat with, way to come up with these words, to treat with appropriate, opprobrious, and contemptuous language. Reproach, contumely, contemptuous language. Jesus said, Matthew 5:11, blessed are you when men shall revile you. Blessed are you when men shall revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you, falsely for account of me. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor, it's henceforth good for nothing. Said to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. You're the light of the world. Nobody takes a light and sets it up on a hill, puts a bushel basket over it. You get it? People don't like light. They don't like it. They don't like salt. And so boys and girls, you could raise your hand right now. You don't have to. How many of you are in a mess in your own family because you took a stand? You just, all you did is just took a stand. You didn't let your pastor and didn't let everybody. Oh well, just go ahead and just compromise a little bit, yeah. Coach. You only win them to the cross by loving them. Just continue to love them. Yeah, but in order me to continue to love them the way you tell me to love them, I got to let stuff come into my house. I don't want coming in my house. Yeah, but coach, you don't win flies with salt. You win flies with honey. That's where we are. We are. Christians seem to love everybody, but they don't love those who are being destroyed by the decisions of ungodly rulers, as Matt Tuella spoke about yesterday. Ungodly rulers and godly people, Christians, won't stand up and fight back and do anything about it. We're in the mess that we're in because Christians are okay with it, evidently. I'm actually in a pretty good mood as far as moods are concerned. But we see, things are a lot worse than you realize, folks. They're a lot worse than you realize. When you can sit down and you can watch a football game and see an instant replay from six different angles of whether the ball hit the ground or didn't hit the ground, and something as critical as the election of the President of the United States, Supreme Court won't even hear it. They won't even hear the case. I'm telling you. So where do we turn to then? Well, we're in the mess that we're in because, first of all, we've granted the Supreme Court way too much power. Where are the elected officials, John Diamond, in Pennsylvania that should be doing the job of making sure the election is legal rather than waiting for the Supreme Court to rule on it, which is, by the way, exactly what Matt Tuella was talking about yesterday. Where are they? Where are the churches screaming and hollering, stomping their feet? We got robbed! We were robbed! We got robbed! Remember when the U.S. Olympic team got beat by the Russians in basketball in 19, I don't know, was it 80? I don't remember. Where they got a do-over? Does anybody remember that do-over they did? The Russians went down, they missed a shot, and then the referee said, well, we had a mistake on the clock, and they put 2 seconds back on, and the guy turned around, made a jump shot from the foul line, and USA lost the gold. Russia won the gold, first time ever, a do-over. People screamed and hollered about that for 10 years. We had an election stolen and not a peep from the church. Somebody, you don't have to say amen, but that'd have been a good place to say it. Is your pastor up in the pulpit stomping and screaming and hollering about what happened in the election? Say, oh, no, coach. No, we don't, Rick. We don't miss the sacred with the secular. We don't talk politics in our church. Really? Really?
Amen, coach.
So is your pastor training you guys in to be a militia to protect your families and protect your homes? Because that's what's going to happen. That's going to happen. Is he teaching you that? No, he's teaching you to love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as he rapes your daughters and rapes the minds of your children. Love him. Oh, yeah. Love him. I'm feeling this morning. Anybody trying to get? Oh, my God. We got some hands up. I was on the wrong section there. Bear with. I got a lot of stuff to give you today, man. Lord, I need your help, man. I need you this morning, Lord. How about this? Hey, Randy, this is unbelievable. I'm not going to throw it up on the schedule, but these kind of things pump me up. I got an email today. You know, we've been trying to get local huddles. Local huddles gone. My computer's freezing up on me. Come on here. There it goes. I got to share it. So Bobby Jedlicky sent me an email yesterday. Listen to this email. She says, hello, Dave. I've been watching a few current videos, and I am so encouraged to be fed real meat rather than paddling. I stand for real truth. I would host a huddle if others were able to contact me via email. Here's my phone, and here's my email. Please be encouraged as you have blessed me through the years at News With You's and now videos, which I'm not fully aware of until recently, in him also. Oh, by the way, I didn't tell you. She lives on the Kenai Peninsula, 2.5 hours south of Anchorage, Alaska. Randy, you think we can get a cuddle going on up there? Anybody know anybody in Alaska? God bless you, Bobby. Oh, my. So doesn't that show you something? That somebody in Alaska's got to try to contact somebody in Ohio. It's unbelievable. Yeah, Mark.
I got a friend with their eyes open in Alaska. I don't know
where
in comparison, but get me the location, and I'll see if I can't get them in touch.
The Kenai Peninsula. I got to go back and do some research on my geography, Mark. Unbelievable. Bobby, God bless you, sweetheart. We'll be in touch and see what we can do. Okay, Coach, slow down now. Where you want to go? Where you want to go this morning? Oh, I know. Let me do this. The calendar. Hey, listen, our calendar is really taking off. Listen, I see all of it, and we'll get you all in here in a second. I promise you. Let me get the calendar stuff done. And we're building it. We're building it every day. Every day. And we got some exciting things. Doing about one a month, different areas throughout the place. I'm not going to tell you where they are. They're up on the screen. I got some more that aren't even up there. I told you I heard from Russ Dizdar. We're doing an event with a two-day training, maybe a three-day training with Russ Dizdar coming up in April. We don't even have it on the screen. So if you're out there and you want to try to do something, you better get a hold of us in a hurry so we can get your event up on there. So the Salt and Light Brigade, God-fearing people all across America are alive and awake, and it's an exciting time, for sure, an exciting time. Do I want to go to those guys? Yeah, okay. I did all this show prep, and I'm going to turn over this show to rank amateurs, as Rush would say, and I'm going to let Larry come in, and then James come in, and then Alan come in, and then John Diamond, and then Joe Allen. Okay, rank amateurs. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, I just want to say that you hit the nail on the head, as you've done hundreds of times over the last 5 years. Churches nowadays are teaching, not only are they teaching people to love everybody, which is obviously not the way Jesus operated, and they make a mistake or they make errors in defining what that love is supposed to look like.
That's
they
right.
ignore that love is supposed to include discipline.
That's right. Acceptance is all that.
It's all about the churches have been misled, and don't have any mistake about it. They weren't misled by leading of the Holy Spirit.
Larry, here's the thing. See, I love. Oh, my wife's. Oh yeah, we need to pray for Mike Blake. He's been struggling a little bit. Thanks, Michelle. Here's the difference, Larry. I love my grandson more than I love the transgender guy at the library. Are you guys picking me up here? Huh? Are you picking up what I'm saying? You can't just say love. That doesn't do it, man. Love. Sometimes, always, love protects. Always. Love causes tough choices, folks. Just think about the love in your own home. Come on in, James. Gotta unmute yourself here, bud. Click on the little mic. I don't know if we had you in here before, James. Listen, I'll come back to you. Alan, go ahead. Hey, James is a little microphone. Click on that microphone. It's probably red. Just click on that and it'll unmute you. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, Coach. Randy and I were sharpening some iron last night, and Lord gave me a nugget, a silver nugget, about dross, D-R-O-S-S. Mm-hmm. God's exposing the dross, not just in a political realm, but behind the pulpit realm.
Boy.
An example of that dross is like all those pastors over in Baton Rouge.
Mm.
They won't stand with Tony Spell. They're a bunch of dross.
Yes, they are, brother.
About it is when you see a lot of verses in there that deals with dross, it also have the word purge in there. And God is about ready to purge the dross. And that's in the political realm. When you read there, Coach, it'll be talk about the evil priest. At the same time, it talks about the evil princes. And those evil princes are wicked politicians. So the church and the political realm, they don't want to talk about each other. But by God, God talks about them.
Randy, Alan, think how hard we fought for Amy Coney Barrett. Huh? Amy Coney Barrett. Give me a break.
Dross. She's all dross.
John Roberts, who's looking more and more like he was at Epstein's Island more times than we know. He's sitting at the highest office in the land. See, evil walks on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. That's what we got. We got vile men ruling and reigning in America. James, can you get in here yet, bud? Did you figure that one out? I don't want to leave you hanging. Joe Allen, come on in.
Coach, I was, you know I'm a fighter.
I do.
And I'm sitting here thinking I wanted to give a little Dr. Oz therapy. You know, we fight about this stuff and worry about it, we got to take time for ourselves and get out, go fishing, go out there in the woods somewhere.
Yeah.
We got to take time for ourselves, because if we don't, it's just going to wear us down.
Hey, let me take a deep breath. Well, I know what you're talking about. But here's the problem. I look around, and it's like there's a leak in my faucet. And if I don't keep my hand on the click, on the crack, it's going to get the rest of my house wet. And so I can't go out and play, because when I come back, my living room's going to be wet. You guys know what I'm talking about. I know you feel the same way. Come on in, John Diamond.
Morning, Coach.
Morning.
Hey, two things real quick. One, the redress of grievances. I mean, we got to get it in our heart that we're just going to exercise our God-given rights, and we're not going to worry about the government. I'm not asking permission from the government to pray, to have the Bible in school. And then if I need to redress a grievance, I'm going to take it straight to heaven. So civil disobedience is at the heart of the Appeal to Heaven movement. We're just going to operate in our God-given rights, and I don't care what my civil servant has to say. But the second thing is we need to define the word love according to the Bible, because, you know, we think love is just putting up with everything. But if you go to Romans 12:9, the Amplified version, it says love is to be sincere. And then it defines it: hate what is evil, detest all ungodliness, and do not tolerate wickedness. That is the definition of love. That is the biblical definition of love. Not this just tolerate everybody and just hug them and love them and let them go to hell. If somebody's living in sin and you tolerate it, they're going to hell. That is not love. That is the exact opposite of love. If you love them, you will stick your neck out and tell them what they're doing is wrong, knowing that you're going to...
You'll risk the relationship, John.
...get talked about and wounded. If you look at the Amplified version of that, I mean, that's what the church needs to focus on.
Yes, that's right. Love requires risk, folks. Love requires risk. And I know that many of us, including me, that are dealing with issues in our family that are heartbreaking. And you think these people are adults. They're adults. Where did I go wrong? How did this happen? I know a lot of us are dealing with that. And I don't know. But you know what? Some of these adults have made a decision. And although I still love them, it's like, oh my God, what can I do about it? They need Jesus, and they don't want him. They don't want him. Or just as bad, they think they know him. That's just as scary. MBH Digital, come on in.
Hey, good morning, Coach. It's Liberty Mel here.
Hey, Mel.
As you know, I've been working on some ideas. You know, I think it's going to all begin at the local, the county, and the precinct level. And
yes,
I think
ma'am.
It's possible to take over, you know, the political, you know, parties in our areas. But the bigger question, I think the harder question is, then what? I mean, if you don't have a plan for after that, then, you know, it could become just as bad as it's, you know, been in the beginning. So I loved the show yesterday. I thought that Matt Torella's, you know, the idea of doctrine of the lesser magistrates, I think that would have to be part of whatever we would plan that would come next. I think John Diamond's, you know, Appeal to Heaven and the Kingdom of Heaven, I think that we have to understand that our government really is, you know, in order for it to function correctly, it has to be aligned with God's, you know, God's government. And, you know, I think people that we're getting to know and, you know, electing to office, you know, their number one job is going to need to be to protect the God-given rights of the people, and also to allow for the redress of grievances. I mean, that's kind of just basic things that we don't have right now. Another thing I just want to mention to you is there's a group in Ohio called Free Ohio Now. And this week, they're starting a coalition to restore liberty. And if you go to their website, they have PDFs for businesses and for citizens that you can print out. And it gives businesses, you know, tools so that they can, you know how to handle that if somebody comes to their business and, you know, if they're not masking. But if you go to where it is right there in the center there, you can see that there's the red buttons down below. You've got the ones for businesses and ones for citizens. So anyway, that's something that you could easily do. Go in and print out that information. Just pick 10 of your local businesses in your area. You know, go visit them and, you know, give them some information to help them get their doors open. They even have a card for Karen. If some individual comes up to you and starts giving you a hard time about not wearing a mask, there's a card that you can print out to give to her information. So
good
anyway,
stuff,
I'm gonna mention those things. Thanks, Coach.
All right, so we're going to start burning masks on Friday or Sunday in Pataskala at the Kroger. So if you guys are in the Ohio area, come and join us. Good stuff, Mel. We'll have to get you to put together a little game plan for us on how we can win this thing. James, are you still trying to get in here? Dale, come on in, then Clay. And then I'm going to switch gears. Go ahead, Dale.
You know, I saw that. What a way to ruin the ending of my vacation was seeing what happened with the Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, can't find four of them just to even do an instant replay. Can't find four of them. Go ahead.
It's the typical right to life, national right to life. We just need one more Supreme Court, right?
Always the same.
This is nonsense. You know, the justice has fallen in D.C. Justice has fallen in the street. I've said this a few weeks ago. Corruption at every point and level of government. And when John Diamond was talking about love, because we always look at when they want to start quoting God, you know, God says this, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto the first, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus was quoting Old Testament scripture. You go to Leviticus 19:15, and you see the rebuking of your neighbor before he says to love your neighbor as yourself, all in that same context. Now, yeah. What do we do? This is me, brother. Let this be a note. FBI man, don't come to my house unless you have a warrant. You're not welcome there. Who do I turn to for the redress of grievances? I turn to Smith & Wesson.
Amen. Amen. Are they still alive? I think they're in jail. They're trying to put those guys in jail.
I got some safe and safe.
I got you. Come on in, Clay. Then Rochelle.
Hey, everywhere we go to do something, there's just not a lot of people there. You know, we don't have enough people standing up. And even in Washington, D.C., think of all the people in the United States, the population of the United States. And let's say there was 1 million in D.C. That's not very many people showing up.
But Clay, they brought 1 million of us to D.C. and had no game plan for us. Go ahead.
And I think what's going on is people are living paycheck to paycheck. A lot of them are. They're in debt, and they want to stay living comfortably. And how many people said we suffered this past year? So I just want to bring it to people's attention. Look at how you were suffering. I mean, now we don't have fancy houses, but some of us do. And some of us have fancy cars and some of us don't. But just look around at what you have and then ask yourself if you really did suffer through the year 2020.
The answer is no. Thanks, Clay. Got to move. Thanks. Good word. Rochelle, come on in. Then I'm changing gears. Go ahead.
Okay. Good morning, Coach. I know you don't like when I talk about prophecy, but I just want to say that there's – still, out of the 8,000 passages regarding prophecy, there are still 2,000 that have to happen thereabouts. I don't remember exactly. But listen, people don't change. If you read, you'll see that people over and over and over again fail until they see other people dying for them.
Yes.
Okay, so we look around and we get all discouraged and frustrated and we're like, why aren't we winning? Maybe here's just a question. Is it possible that we don't know what winning looks like?
Yep.
And remember two times in Daniel where he took the little book and he ate it and made him sick. And then again, he flashes hyperlinks with John the Revelator. Same thing. It's because when they read that book, they see what has to happen to get people to come to Jesus.
Amen.
And it's not pretty. That's why they get so sick and ill at the end. So I'm not putting a squash on anybody fighting. I think that the fighting is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to occupy. So we keep doing this. It's just hard not to get frustrated. And it's hard when people we love aren't listening. But
Rochelle, we have to always look at it as the process of winning. You never just win. I don't care what it is. You never just win. It's a process. It's right. Always a process. And every time I go out and do something, it's a process towards victory. Can I look back and say I won? Well, maybe I didn't win, but it's a process. And so when I don't win today, or it appears I don't win today, I go to work tomorrow. It's a process towards victory. Woody Hayes, Ohio State fight song. Drive, drive on down the field. Men of the scarlet and gray. It's a process. It's a drive, 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 drive. It's never drop a bomb, we win. That's not the way that it works.
Don't let them through that line. We got to win this game today.
Go, go, go. Right? Yes, yes. We got to win, man. Got to win. I've got to win that game today. Got to win that game today. Come on in, Randy. Hey, while Randy's coming in, get up Hardman for me, Spencer. Hardman. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, in the fourth quarter, if we were down 21-0, I thought we could win. Coach, I'd come back to the huddle every play, and guys, we can win this game. But I could see in the eyes of some, Coach, they didn't think so.
No, that's right.
You have people with mentalities that don't think you can win. I always think I can win. I always believe God can win. That's how I'm wired, Coach, and I'm thankful I'm that way, because that's the attitude that we should have as the church. And if we don't have it, God, we're settling for way less than what the Holy Spirit wants.
Randy, I'm always up or getting up. That's what I tell people. I'm up or getting up. I'm on my way to victory. I maybe not. Maybe I didn't win today, but brother, there's tomorrow. I'm on my way to victory. That's not – hey, folks, evacuation ain't victory. Sorry, it ain't victory. We got to fight, man. We got to fight. I came across this. I don't know where it was, but I want to read it to you today. Hardman in a World of Softness, written by Eric Kahn. It's actually a couple years old, I think. February 27th, 2018. That just came across my desk. Are you ready for this? I don't read as deep as silver, but I'll read quicker than he will. He says, several years ago, I was gathering with a group of church leaders who hailed from around the country. Many of them were for major metropolitan areas. And as an elder from a town of only a few thousand, and at the time, an editor at a gun magazine, I felt a little bit like the crazy uncle someone brought for show and tell. You guys feel like that when you go to your family parties? They want to put you over in the corner. Uncle Dave's going to say something stupid here. I feel that. So they'd seen my Facebook profile, and they were astounded by all the wilderness exploits, firearms, and most of all, dead animals that regularly appeared in my news feed. Like the Tasmanian devil, they'd read about specimens like me in books and knew he existed, but many of them had never ever seen a real one in person. You could feel the mixture of boyish awe and a tinge of disgust. One church leader asked me incredulously, so when you go hunting and you kill this animal, do you, you know, take its skin off and remove the organs? When I answered in the affirmative, he looked a little bit shocked at the question. You could hear the collective gasp in the room. I found this most amusing, but at the same time wondered where exactly these guys thought their steaks and hamburgers came from. It was really a clash of cultures. Their conversations revealed a world of high thread count shirts, expensive private school tuition, and obscure theatrical performances I'd never heard of. Well, my world collided as one of diesel exhaust, coal miners, calloused hands, and the often bloody work of ranching and hunting. You see that dichotomy, folks? Who's in Washington, D.C.? The guys with blood on their hands or the guys with the nice ties and the high thread shirts? Oh, this is so good. But it was a conversation I had shortly thereafter with a different pastor. Didn't last very long in the small town he was serving that has lodged in my mind. He confided that he had a hard time connecting with the people of his rural community. He had a particular disdain for country music. Pastor hated country music. He hated disdain for country music, lifted trucks, and the sea of blaze orange covered hunters that showed up every fall. He didn't like it. He didn't like the community he was in, folks. It wasn't that those things weren't his interests. It was that he actively had disdain for them. Something more than tastes and preferences was in play. I just think hunting is so stupid and gross, he said. Why can't you just buy your food at the grocery store like everyone else? I'll never do it. It's almost as dumb as country music, this pastor said. You could hear the revulsion and effeminate range in his voice. He'd rather be in his office vaping and listening to esoteric music and meditating on obscure and grandiose theology than standing on the fence line, straightening barbed wire with one of his people. Listen, Randy, soft men despise those who are hard. I'm going to say that again. Soft men despise those who are hard.
Amen.
How is it that our seminaries and churches and much of Christendom are somehow attracting and training effeminate pastors? Why is this happening at such a alarmingly high rate? Why are our Christian institutions so skilled at training our theologically precise men with softness as their crowning virtue? They speak softly, play softly, avoid hardness at all costs. They don't initiate in leadership. They take responsibility or confront hard cases of church discipline. Little wonder our people are effeminate when so many of the shepherds lack the stones to model biblical masculinity. Say amen, Roger. Say amen, Roger.
Amen. Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Very quickly, the reason that is because the foundation is soft. We have to eradicate it and rebuild it.
Stay with me. They speak softly. Those who preen and obsess over their appearance like women, who know more about pastel dress shirts and overpriced macchiatos than a hard day of physical labor, and pit bookiness against a pair of Carhartt overalls as though learning and labor were mutually exclusive. Why has the limp-wristed poetry-writing therapist in a sweater vest replaced the flesh-and-blood shepherding ranch hand upon which Christ actually modeled his ministry? Anybody's heart pounding mine is. And why can't we even talk about these things in the church without being called bigoted or insensitive? And how is it those pastors then come to despise men like me, blue-collared, splinters in my hand, bleary-eyed from the graveyard shift, slightly overweight, and farm strong, men who know what it is to give and take a life? Little wonder real men are repulsed by what they find in church. Little wonder we attract hard women and repel biblical feminine softness. Hey, Randy, we attract hard women. Surely it can't be any surprise that this sissified pastoral model so often fails in the places where real-life shepherds and ranchers actually exist. For them, it's pretty easy to spot an imposter. We shouldn't be shocked that having shaped our ministries in the hands of effeminate potters who preside over the seminaries, that they come out of the kiln looking soft. Most of all, repulsive to real men. But at least they know how to dress and strut like a peacock in the pulpit. But consider the biblical pattern for God's pastors. I'm reading over here, folks. That's why I'm not looking at you, okay? Prophets don't dress themselves soft. They don't have an effeminate bearing. They don't dress and talk and carry themselves like women. Prophets aren't gay. John the Baptist was a man's man, and men who want to enter the kingdom of God will imitate him. Like John the Baptist, violent men will take the kingdom of heaven by force. At a recent pastor's conference hosted by this guy, I sat down with Tim Bailey, who made an interesting observation about rural life, animal husbandry, hunting, and pastoral work. He said, give me a man that knows how to take a life, who understands the seriousness of it, and can pull the trigger without sentimentality, Tim said. We need more of that from our pastors in our churches. A guy who can actually go down and shoot a deer and go out and pull his guts out. How many pastors can do that? The shepherd's work, he pointed out, requires both the gentle arms of a man and the fierceness towards the wolves in the midst. A gentle arm, how about that, folks, of a man and the fierceness towards the wolves. It's a bloody mess, pastoring. Manly work, completely unsentimental or pretty. Something many in our skinny jeans culture just cannot stomach. But it was the same with David, the shepherd king, who said killing bears and lions with his bare hands in defense of the sheep prepared him for the larger battles against God's enemies. The manner of David's shepherding is hardly the stuff of our video game generation of boys with beards. Your servant used to, David, this is from David, 1 Samuel. Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. When there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and I struck him and I delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose again against me, I grabbed him by his beard and I sucker punched him. Your servant was struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. What the church needs is hard men. Men of principle who pursue their own godliness with a holy violence. I love that term, holy violence. Men who run into burning buildings when everybody else, like a Broward County Sheriff's deputy, is running out. What we especially need in the pastorate are men who act like it, who actively repent of their softness and embrace the kind of biblical hardness God has called us to. Stay with me here. Soft is not what God made man to be. Look at a man's sexual organ and consider the simple truth that godliness for man means living in obedience to his body. His body's hard in taking initiative and bearing responsibility. And this is the reason soft men will not enter the kingdom of God. They are in rebellion against God and who he made them to be. About done. That's it. America needs hard men. Hard men in the world. Hey, Coach. Yes, come on in.
Just real quick, we're getting ready to do another boot camp in the middle of March. Our first one, we'll do about four of them this year, bringing them young boys out to the wilderness, shooting guns, bows and arrows. Last year, when you were reading that, what they did was took all these boys out in the woods. So boys, Pastor Bill said, we're going to go out and kill us a squirrel. They went out in the woods, and one team come back with one squirrel, and Pastor Bill went to skin that thing and get the knife out, get it ready for the fire. Got to see all them boys. We had 42 men and boys. 24 of them were probably young boys. Every one of them boys were circled around Pastor Bill as he cut and diced that squirrel up. And they laid her on the fire, and they all got to take a bite of it. They were just little young men ready to go to follow an older man's lead. You know what I mean? It was good.
Well, that's what Mike Heath said we need to do at our boot camps up here at Sky High, actually kill and field dress an animal. How many men have really reached inside of a deer and pulled that pumping heart out and pulled those guts out and field dressed a deer? I bet if we raised our hand, it wouldn't be many of us, would it? We're not talking.
Dave, I remember when we were in D.C. When Trump got inaugurated, the Pink Hat Parade. And
yeah,
I remember seeing all these men walking in with their lady friends or wives or whatever. And they all just looked so feminine and just so pathetic.
That's right.
And, and as you read, they just looked soft.
Just looked soft, brother. Just looks soft. Why? Fear. We fear. We've lost the whole idea. See, I believe this, Roger. You could go ask Dylan Weaver and you could ask Dustin Weaver. And I bet you that they would tell you that one of the top three or four experiences of their lives was playing football at Fairfield Christian Academy. And that the rest of their lives, they're looking for that camaraderie.
Absolutely.
They cannot find any place else in the world. The idea of getting in a huddle and somebody calling a play, and in unison, all of us coming out and knocking somebody on their ass. You understand what I'm talking about? You can't find that anywhere. Can't find it anywhere. You go to your men's meeting on Saturday morning, men's breakfast, and they'll be telling you what? How to get in touch with your feelings. And you know, amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. We wonder why the hell men don't want to be part of church.
Amen, Coach.
Be part of that crap.
Amen.
Touch with my feelings. That's the problem. That's the problem. I'm too worried about my feelings. Sometimes you got to bury your feelings. Just go do the hard work. Patriots 1776. Come on in.
Hey, Coach, it's Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, you remember a couple weeks ago I told you that there was a single figure, American figure, that the American communists hated the most? Do you remember who it was?
I don't. Help me.
John Wayne.
Oh, yes.
Okay, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
American individualism, masculinity, okay, and the Marxism that has crept into the American church.
Right.
Just think, hey, John Wayne.
Kevin, they're mad. Some of them are mad right now because I said ass. Some of them are mad that I said ass, right?
Huh? Yeah. They're that feminine. They're
sometimes, folks, I'm going to confess to you. Sometimes when I get together with my buddies, sometimes I'll say S-H-I-T too. Sometimes I swear I do. And then I repent right away. Wait, repent right away for that. Oh, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord.
Because remember, God made those words too. They're made to be used sometimes.
I mean, they're emotions, like, man. They express emotions. Express right. Emotions. Bobby Lee, come on in, then Philip.
All throughout history, up until the last two or three generations, there's always been a rite of passage for the boy. The pain and difficulty the boy experienced with the man, with the men, where he knew he was challenged to cross the threshold into manhood.
Amen. Amen. We don't have that. Jews called it bar mitzvah. When does a young boy become a man? When does a young boy become a man? When he gets his first Playboy magazine, is that when he becomes a man? You ask, when does a boy, how does a boy ever know when he becomes a man? Philip, come on in, then Brett. Gotta unmute yourself there, Phil. Brett, you come on then, Phil. We'll catch back to Phil. Come on in, hi, Brett.
Hey, Coach, here we are. We're in a time right now that these churches, these weak, limp-wristed churches, accept 30 pieces of silver, right, from the government to force down and shut down services. Even Judas gave the money back.
That's right. He did, didn't he? That's right.
A real church, repent and give the money back.
Amen. Gary Dunlap, come on in, Gary. Followed by Phil. I think we can get you in there now, Phil. Go ahead, Gary. Excuse me.
Hey, real quick, Coach, while we're waiting on Philip, you know what winning looks like? Alaska reaching out. You know what winning looks like? Emma starting a honking wave. You know what winning looks like? All these men and women that follow Randy's lead in the huddle. Randy, we're looking at you, man. We're looking at you, and we still believe we can win. 21-0, fourth quarter. We're going to win.
That's right. We're going to get a turnover. We're going to get another turnover. Somehow we're going to pull this thing out. And that's not the – hey, I hate to say this. Women ain't going to do it, boys. Women ain't going to do it. Sorry. Come on Phil, then Phil Sawalson, then Neil Levy.
Real quick, guys. Has the church discipled the culture, or has the culture discipled the church?
The world is the salt of the church. No doubt about it, brother. No doubt about it.
And our identity now has been the culture, and we have lost an identity as the church.
Amen. Hey, Philip, we're fighting hard to get it back, brother. We're fighting it hard. There ain't no sissies in the Bible, baby. Ain't no sissies.
We've often said on this show, who had more influence in our culture, Billy Graham or Hugh Hefner?
Yep.
And it's not close. It's not even close.
Not even. Hugh Hefner has a lot more disciples. Come on in, Neil. Then Randy.
Yeah, a real man's got to wear a steel-toed boot all the time, even a church, in case he's got to plant in someone's backside.
Amen, brother. Amen. No flip-flops. Too many flip-flops, Neil. We're all wearing flip-flops everywhere we go. Go on, Randy.
Coach, I think some of us have we're divided on what we're saying and what we're thinking. Coach, I'm not trying to build a kingdom for me here. No. I'm trying to build God's kingdom. And if the end time escapist people want to say we shouldn't fight because the end's here, then they're not in the fight. I'm through with them. Coach, I'm building the kingdom of God until I'm here on the earth. And then my children know how to do it until he comes back again. And, Coach, if it's 500 years, the church is going to be dead for 500 years if we don't look at it like that. We have to do our job.
Hang on a minute, Randy. Michelle, You're on the air, so watch what you say. See, I got to tell her that sometimes too, right? Hey, Michelle, this public image that some people think I'm a harsh, I'm a caveman. You're in the kitchen all the time cleaning the dishes and cooking, and I'm out running around spending all the money and visiting people. Michelle, is that who I am?
No.
Come on.
No way.
Sell me to this crowd, will you? Sell me to this crowd.
Show you to this crowd.
Sell me. Sell me. Sell me. Tell him I'm okay.
He's okay. He's great. I've been married 41 years. If he would have made me do that kind of stuff, I would have been gone a long time ago.
So she stays home and she cooks for me so I can go fight. When I come back home, she cooks for me again because she knows I'm tired. And we're a pair and we're a team. And she does her role and I do my role. And I never cook, but sometimes she comes with me. Sometimes she goes, right? Because we are in this thing together. And she never tells me, honey, you're too harsh. Honey, you're too mean. Honey, you're too bold. She never, ever says that, do you, sweetheart?
Never, never, never. I'm sick of the wimpy, soft man. I'm sick of it.
41, 41 and a half years. Yep. Hey, listen, I'm going to be hungry when I get done with this show. You get me something ready. What? What,
hey? Hey, Dave.
Keep fighting, man. That's what we have to do.
And love you, sweetie.
And you women, support your men.
Yes.
As much as you can.
Yes, sir.
As much as you can. Let him go. Quit complaining.
Men, men, honor your wife. Love your wife. Let your wife know you value her, and she'll let you go. In fact, she'll push you out the door.
That's the truth. Yep.
Love you, honey.
That's the truth. Love you, too.
Bye-bye. Okay, who wants in here? I'm telling you the truth. Hey, Roger, I couldn't be a pastor. As I told somebody, I'd be the Dr. Jack Kevorkian of church growth because I wouldn't be running around wiping people's noses and rubbing them on the back and telling them how brave they are. I'd be the Jamie Waldron type. Suck it up, buttercup. It's war. We're at war. Go ahead, Roger.
Oh, I may be changing the topic, but in battle, you know, I think of my Civil War movies. I think of Paul and the Bible. When they realize that the odds of victory that day are not good, so they do retreat to regroup to fight for another day. Is that not also a biblical position at times? Even Paul would dust off his cloth and move on when the people would not listen. So is there not some suggestion of regrouping when battles are lost?
Absolutely. Go lick your wounds, but don't lick them too long. Yeah, we only got so long to fight, man. Only got so long. Denny Bryan, come on in, Denny. Then
that's what I was talking about, Roger.
Go ahead, Denny.
Hey, I just wanted to say, Coach Michelle's been at our house, and we sleep with our door locked so that they I'm just teasing, Coach.
Chain me in. I'll keep me chained in.
Exactly. Coach, I can tell you what, Coach, he is the most determined man I've ever met in my life. And it's so inspiring, Coach. But when you're with your wife and we sit there in the evening, you're you know, you calm down and you're
I'm a real guy. I'm a real guy. Yeah. Hey, this ain't about me, man. This ain't about me. Don't let anybody stereotype you, man. Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. Love you, Denny. Come on in, John Collison, and then back to Kevin.
Hey, Coach, just a note that Free Ohio Now up in Lake County tonight, they're going to have a discussion on the doctrine of lesser magistrates.
Are they really?
Yep.
Oh, awesome. How'd you find that out, John?
I just went to their site when she told me about it, and sure enough, it's up in Lake. They're going to have probably a meeting every two or three days somewhere, Lake, Monroe, Franklin. So just keep your eyes open on them.
All right, John, thanks, man. That's good news. Folks, we'll get that website. Put that in the chat for us if you can real quick there, Spence. Put it in there. Let's go to Kevin and then Jeff now. Go ahead, Kevin.
All right, I want to make 2 points, Coach. First, you brought Michelle on. It reminded me of what the Spartans' wives used to tell them before they went out to war. They'd say, you come home with your shield or on it, but either way, you go fight.
Amen.
Okay? And then, secondly, where I had mentioned John Wayne earlier, you guys remember the movie The Cowboys?
Oh, yeah.
That was the film where he had about 25 boys ranging between the age of 10 and 14 to go do a cattle drive across, probably 4 states, big states, Texas, Colorado. And he headed out with those boys, and they did that cattle drive over, the next few weeks, and they came home men.
They did, brother. A little hard work toughened somebody up for sure.
That's right.
Let me try to get Gary in here again. Gary, go ahead and give it a try. He said he couldn't get his microphone to work. This is your big moment, Gary. Oh, he's probably on delay too. I forget that. We're waiting, Gary. Michelle, we'll wait on Gary. Go ahead, Michelle.
Okay. Hi, Randy. I just wanted to say that for the record, I'm not waiting to be whisked away by any stretch of the imagination. I really think that Christians are going to suffer in the end. And I think the difference in eschatology that people carry around shouldn't be used against them.
That's right.
And I'm not 100% on the rapture. I've gone both ways. I've looked at the evidence of both. And either way, I'm fine. We're here. We're fighting. We're battling till the end.
It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant.
Listen, there are some women out there who don't have men who want to go out there and fight.
Amen. Well, we'll take them with us. I love a cat fight. Go ahead, Jeff, now.
Hey, Coach, you're encouraging me to move forward because I'm going to speak before the SR8, the Equality Act, the most ungodly act presented.
They're going to hate you. You know that?
Right. But
okay. So don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when they hate you. Don't come in here tomorrow and tell us how they hated you. Hey, Jeff, I'm telling you, they're going to hate you, and we all know it.
Well, at least I know it's not going to be done in vain.
Amen. It's never in vain, brother. It's never in vain. Ohio Brett. Hey, guys, when you're done, please unwave so I can. I don't want to step over anybody. I can't tell whether these are new hands up or not. So are you in, Brett? Doesn't matter.
We're Jeff good. Klein? I took it down. Sorry, Coach.
Okay, no, that's all right. That's right. Jeff, go ahead. Jeff Klein.
Just letting everybody know, the men and the women are assembled tonight in the garage at 6 o'clock here at Mount Vernon. So anybody close ones, come on in. Come on in.
6 o'clock, Mount Vernon, Ohio. Gary, can you get in here yet? As you said, your phone's acting goofy. Yes, Gary. He says that go to the book of Nehemiah. The guys that are building the wall got a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. Folks, guys, it doesn't have to be either or. I got so much stuff I didn't get to yet. Oh my goodness, so much stuff I didn't get to. I posted a video online. Maybe you can go there real quick, Spencer, so people can go to it and find it. Yesterday, which one it is? I don't know why these things. Yeah, second one in there. Yes, folks. World Doctors Alliance. World, it's an amazing video. It's on our website. A group of doctors called the World Doctors Alliance. The whole COVID thing is the flu. Seasonal flu. And these doctors are doing everything they can to expose it as such. That's posted at our website there, CoachDaveLive.com. Go up there. And I did a Facebook Live. I couldn't find it anywhere. I couldn't find the video anywhere. And somebody had sent it to me. So I did a Facebook Live and filmed it so they could get it posted. And of course, you know what happens, right? YouTube tries to pull it down immediately. We are in an information war. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now, those of us who are in here, we're awake. We have some knowledge. We're accumulating more of it all the time. But there's nothing worse than for us to know to do good and not to do it. Bible says that is sin. For you to know to do good and not to do it, to you it is sin. Now, we can selectively choose what we're going to do. Selectively, we could pick the easier things to do. What was it Woody Hayes said? Hey, Brett, Woody Hayes said he never saw a football player make a tackle with a smile on his face. So we got to determine whether it wore or not. And the guys in this queue and the women in this queue, you are the A team. You are the SWAT team. You are the special forces. You are and will have to be the first guys on the beach. You're prepared to do it. The Lord is with you. Let's get up and fight. God bless you. See you tomorrow.